Hello there, my name is Tony Brewer. I'm the Keto Christian Podcaster, and you're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we talk about things that we've been thinking about. Cogitations is a word that means just that, to think deeply about things. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Folks, we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. And today we're going to talk about hospice care. I had a listener question, a very emotionally packed and emotionally charged question about hospice care. Let me read you the verse here, and you'll notice we're getting right into this. You don't usually see me this early, but I am actually going to go to Memphis today to class at the Memphis School of Preaching to start their MOST program. It's Memphis School of Preaching, M-O, ongoing, S, spiritual, T, training. And those classes are open for anyone to audit. So you may audit those classes, but I'm going to be taking them for a diploma. It's the equivalent of a master's. So anyway, please pray for me in that wise. The question of hospice, a person sent me a question and said, you know, "Brother Tony, my mother was diagnosed. The doctor says there's nothing more we can do, and we're going to put her in hospice care. Family member says that we are doing wrong by our mother by letting hospice kill her. And they are citing Psalm 71:9. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." Well, you know, that's first off to deal with first the theology. My academic bone needs to be scratched here. That verse doesn't have anything to do with how we treat people in their old age. I'm going to get into that in the last segment of this podcast, but we can't use that verse to say, well, you need to take care of your parents in their old age. Now, there are verses that we need to, that we can use that says we need to take care of our parents in their old age. And in fact, there was an exchange with Jesus where the Jews were using something called Corban in order to circumvent the law of God by their traditions so they would not have to take care of their parents in their old age. So Jesus deals directly with that. In the New Testament. Yes, I know that he was under the law of Moses when he lived, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're New Testament books because Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world." So whatever Jesus commanded about how we need to take care of our family when they're old, that it doesn't matter that it was under the old law when he said it, by virtue of the fact that he commanded it to the apostles, it comes forward in the new covenant. Okay, that's the way that works. I don't try to wade off in the ditches and in the bushes about this argument on whether or not Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John should be in the Old Testament. It doesn't matter if you put them in the Old Testament or the New. What Jesus taught is church doctrine. Okay, that's all there is to it. Now, let's get in first. Let's put a peg in that, and then let's go to the internet here, and let's look up a definition of hospice. Okay, so one, I've got the medicinenet.com definition of hospice. The medical definition of hospice care: it's care designed to give supportive care to people in the final phase of terminal illness and focus on comfort and quality of life rather than a cure. The goal is to enable patients to be comfortable and free of pain so that they live each day as fully as possible. Now, the Merriam-Webster definition of hospice is a lodging for travelers, young persons, or the underprivileged, especially when maintained by a religious order. Okay. Now, for those of you who are linguists out there, we can really dive much deeper into the definition of those terms, But we're going to function with these definitions. So usually hospice, like there's a place in Jonesboro, Arkansas called Hospice House. And let me tell you something. It is really, really nice. I have gone, sadly, in my 3 years here as the evangelist at the Bay Church of Christ, I have visited Hospice House way more times than I would like. But I will tell you this. It is a wonderful place for allowing your loved one to spend their final days with as much dignity as possible, okay? It is not a place where they come and murder your family member. And I apologize for those of you, if you are listening to this and you have recently lost loved ones, or if you have recently been through this ordeal of having to spend time in a hospice environment. Maybe you've had a hospice nurse come in and help your loved one with the end of life care.
In a hospice
All right, pardon me for that. Frances Whitner says she will be praying for me. Thank you so much. And she says she loves my work. I just can't tell you how much I'm appreciative of that. Tanya D. Beiser says, hello, brother. Hello, Tanya. I'm so glad to see you. All right, let's get back to the lesson at hand. So I hope that I'm not kind of opening or pulling the scab off a wound or injuring a wound that's already raw and hasn't healed yet. It's my apologies, but this woman that sent me this message, she was very emotionally raw. And my response to her was very simple. I said, listen, you're not doing anything wrong by letting nature take its course. Everybody gets it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Out of everybody that's ever lived on the face of the earth, they have died. Even Jesus, when he came to earth, guess what? He died. No human being that has ever walked the face of the earth, with the exception of two who were translated, they died. Anybody remember what those two are? Enoch and Elijah. But even Jesus didn't escape death. So, you have a very, very slim chance. Unless you're alive when the Lord comes back, we are going to die. Deborah O'Neill says, that's got to be a tough job. You better believe it's a tough job. We have I don't know if she still does this, but we have a young woman who's a member of the church here at Bay who is a hospice nurse, and she absolutely loves it, but it takes an emotional toil. I knew someone in my past who was not a hospice nurse, but they were a hospice therapist, and she said it was very, very rewarding, but the ones that got her was the children. She would counsel children who were terminally ill. And she said the thing that would get you with that is that the children who are terminally ill usually are the bright spot and the anchor, the tether to reality and strength and dignity for the folks around them, that their world around them is crumbling down because nobody can stand a child dying. But that child is very, very strong. And she says that is gut-wrenching to watch. So I'm telling you, There are so many tragedies in this world from which I have been sheltered, and I am so thankful. I've never had to be a part of a child dying. I've known a couple of young people who have died, and I know a couple of young people who have died expectedly. In other words, they were sick, but I've never been so close to it that I've witnessed it. Anyway. So I tried to comfort this woman. I said, your family member is very, very emotional. There's no amount of book, chapter, verse, and logic that will keep them from being the way they are. They are still going to fight you tooth and nail on this. They're still going to feel like you're doing wrong by your mother. And there's no way you're going to get around it. It's an emotional thing. You cannot fix emotions with logic. I like what David Ramsey says about money. The way he does his debt snowball is mathematically incorrect. But he says, if we were working mathematically, then we would have never put stuff on credit cards in the first place. And he's got a good point. Spending is about 80% psychology. So whenever you're dealing with somebody, and then the hospice house and stuff like that, when I say the hospice house, that's a thing in Jonesboro. But whenever you're dealing with hospice care, you got to understand that everybody that's involved will run the gambit of emotions, and they will be high and low. They will run these. It's not neat. It's not tidy. You can't put it in a little box and put a little bow on it and say, this person is angry, this person is sad, this person is indignant, this person thinks we're doing something wrong, this person thinks we're doing something right. This woman who asked me this question, although she made the decision to call in hospice care, she may go through this gambit of she's thinking she's doing something terrible. So we've got to understand that. And I told her, I said, you need to understand you can't logic your family member out of thinking this way. So what you're going to have to do is you're just going to have to pick your course of action and go. I suggested that every member involved needs to get counseling for grief. Never underestimate the power of counseling. If you look at 2 Thessalonians, I think it's 5:23, it's chapter 5 anyway. Paul wishes that the Thessalonians' body, soul, and spirit be preserved blameless. The word for soul is psyche. Whenever people study to be a therapist, they study psychology. They're studying the human soul. Listen, that's profound when we understand. If I'm sick, if I have a common cold, I'm going to go to the doctor. If I'm feeling blue, it would be really nice if I had had access to a therapist. Because feeling blue, that's not full-blown depression, but neither is a common cold a full-blown virus that's going to kill you. But yet we treat the common cold with such an understanding as we go get it taken care of at the doctor. But if somebody's just not feeling very well mentally, we say, oh, you just need to be strong. You just need to work through it. Well, let me tell that to somebody with the flu. Look, you've got 104 degrees of fever and you're vomiting projectile vomit. You just need to work through that. Yeah, no, I don't think so. Whenever you're grieving and you're in a dark place, you need to talk to a therapist. And if you can't afford a therapist, you need to go to one of your elders or go to the evangelist who labors with you where you are. Use these people. It's probably not good enough to go to an evangelist or a therapist or evangelist or an elder if you need actual therapy. But you can at least use them as a sounding board and talk to them, and they'll listen to you, and you can order your thoughts. They can be that listening ear that helps you through something like this. And they can validate you where you need to be validated, and they can even correct you where you need to be corrected, and you need to be open to that. Folks, we have done a great disservice to people going through mental health issues in this society. We need to remove the stigma from it. Anyway, what else do I have? Oh, yeah, so we're going about talking about hospice, and I'm telling this woman, first off, you know, I've already scratched my academic bone. You can't use Psalm 71, verse 9. That's not talking about your parents. Let's go to where Jesus talked about end-of-life care. Matthew chapter 15. I'm just going to read for a moment. Then came the scribes and the Pharisees. This is starting in verse 1. Then came to Jesus the scribes and the Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or to his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Let me explain to you there, in spite of my butchered reading of the scriptures, what Jesus was saying is, there's a commandment to honor your father and mother, but y'all get around that commandment by saying, by whatsoever I would have honored you, it is a gift. So there's nothing left with which to honor you. Now that makes us, that needs to make us understand what it means to honor thy father and mother. And man, I've seen this discussed back and forth in Bible classes. Honor your father and mother does not, I repeat, does not mean that you obey your honor your father and mother. You are not a child. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is the right, for this is right, and it's the first commandment with promise. That is not the same as honoring. Now, you cannot honor your parents as a child unless you obey them. But what about when I'm an adult? I mean, I've been married 20 years. My mother does not get to tell me what to do. In fact, there are many areas in which I'm much more wise than my mother, and I know what to do better. There are areas in which my mother needs me to help her. So the roles have switched, okay? And I'm not saying that a 40-year-old is always more wise than a 70-year-old, but what I'm saying is that usually children of the current age are wiser than children of the previous age when it comes to stuff that are of the age, okay? For instance, how to manage electronics, how to do certain things. Anyway, I'm not going to get all into it, but that's an interesting concept. But she doesn't have any authority over me, none whatsoever. But I need to honor her. What does that look like? Well, it means taking care of her when she's old. Okay. Now she, luckily my father passed and he was very, very, wise in certain things and she's well taken care of. You know, a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, according to the Proverbs writer. And my daddy was certainly wise. And not only did he leave an inheritance for me, he left an inheritance for my children, and he left an inheritance for his wife, okay? So his wife is taken care of. Now, let me tell you what the Jews were doing. So let's say that you were very, very smart, and you invested, and you had all these Roth IRAs, and you had $5 million in assets. So you took that $5 million before your parents started getting in poor health. You took the $5 million and said, look, I'm going to give this to the priest. So you go to the priest and say, priest, I want to give $5 million to God. Okay, that's good. All right. So you go back to your parents when they start getting in poor health. Your parents say, okay, son, it's time for you to honor me. And the parents say, well, or the son says, well, whatever I would have used to honor you, I've already given it as a gift to God. And you know, it's much more better to give to God. So I don't have anything with which I don't have any liquidable assets. I don't have anything that where I can help take care of you in your old age. And then the parents would die from neglect. Well, that's called Corban. You can read about it in the book of Mark, chapter 7. And I'm not sure exactly what verse. I just know it's Mark 7. Yep, right here. Then this is starting in verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. When they saw some of his disciples When they saw that some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands oft, eat not according to the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be, which they have received to hold as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? And he answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. And he said unto him, full well you reject your commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and mother, And whosoever curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say unto his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free, and you suffer him no more. Man, that's so rough. I mean, that is terrible. I don't have anything to help you out with, Mom, because I've given it to God. Now, once they die, you go back to the priest. Remember, it's $5 million. You go back to the priest and say, priest, I think I want that money back. And the priest says, okay, well, I'm gonna give it back to you less a fee. So the priest gives me back my $5 million less $250,000 for himself. The priest makes $250,000, and I get to keep $4.75 million of my money. But if I would have used that money to help my parents, I would have maybe depleted the entire thing. I might have used all that money. Folks, this is a terrible practice. So here we find, at least by implication, by inference, we can infer from what the text implies that we are supposed to take care of our family in their old age. Now you got Ephesians chapter 6, which commands children to honor their father and mother. Let me go read this. I messed it up. I told you, I prove all the time that I am not inspired. If you're looking for somebody that has a perfect knowledge, then boom. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, then the next commandment here, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So obey your parents. Children, you're to obey your parents, but you're also supposed to honor your mother and father. So while you're a children, obey your parents. But as you get old and you're no longer under the authority of your parents, you're supposed to honor them. And what that means is you're supposed to take care of them. Do you know what is included in the taking care of your parents? End of life care. I mean, it's the way of all the earth. Everyone is appointed to die. Like I said, there's only been two individuals in the entire history of mankind that escaped death, and that's because they were translated. Even Jesus didn't escape death. He died. Now, he rose never to die again, so that's a good thing. But you're going to die. I don't know how to be any more plain. Therefore, you're going to need end-of-life care, and it's expensive. And it needs to be done right. And I would say that you would need to hire a hospice worker, a hospice organization to help you. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it is the opposite of forsaking your parents. It is the opposite. Hospice is not designed to cure. In fact, I've seen people in hospice care who were not terminally ill. They were just so sick that they needed the services of the hospice so they could actually fight whatever they were going through and get well. The hospice doesn't necessarily mean end of life. It means end of life most of the time. You know, most of the time, if you're in hospice care, it's because you're so sick that, and it's terminal, and they're just not focused on a cure. They're focused on letting you work through this sickness, or letting you work through your last days with dignity and as much comfort as possible. So anyway, that's what I've got here. I really hope this has been comforting to you. And I certainly, if I opened up any wounds or anything like that, it certainly wasn't my intention. It's not a good thing. We're not comfortable with death. I don't think we should be. I mean, it's an enemy to us. I don't like hearing poetry and art that depicts death, that depicts an old man living his life and greeting death as a friend. Death is an enemy. Death came from sin. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And it took one man and the death of him to take the sting away from the grave, to take victory away from death. If my resurrection means I have victory over death, that means when I die, I have suffered the loss of a battle in order to win the war. Anyway, I went down another road theologically with you, and I didn't mean to do that. I wanted to stay focused on the hospice care. If you have any questions or comments, man, let us know. Ask the question. Send me a private message. Vicky Russell says, hello, thanks for addressing this. Most people don't realize what hospice is all about. I think it is called compassion. God bless you. Thank you so much for that. That's good stuff. Jay Patterson says amen, and he said it long about the time where I was talking about we've stigmatized mental health. That's all I've got here. God bless you. Thank you so much. Please like, share, and subscribe. Go to WeTalkTruth.com. Subscribe to the podcast there. Go to Podbean, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts for the Cogitations podcast. I do these Tuesday through Friday. Man, I've lost my mind. And I've kind of come into something else on the Keto Christian Podcaster Facebook page. Some afternoons, it's not regularly scheduled. It's going to be random because I'm doing so much that I can't add one more thing to my regularly scheduled stuff. But I'm doing afternoon coffee. And yesterday I did an afternoon coffee where I kind of just read an article about a feminist cultist who is calling for the extinction of mankind in order to save the world. Anyway, you might find it of interest, and I may make a podcast channel out of it. We've got to do something with the Near Churches podcast channel, so I may just do this is afternoon coffee on Near Churches, powered by the Near Churches podcast channel, and that way that'll get us some content on a podcast channel that we're actually paying for. So God bless y'all. Thank you so much. If you like what we do and want to help us out, www.patreon.com/nearchurches. You'll have access to some exclusive content that'll be coming out more and more as the months progress in 2020. Like, share, and subscribe. Keto Christian Podcaster on Instagram, Facebook, add to the Church of Christ, X247 Facebook page, Bay Church of Christ Facebook page, and the nearchurches.com Facebook page. And go to the We Talk Truth group. Join us and join in the fun. And become a patron if you like what we do. www.patreon.com/nearchurches. And then go find this on whatever podcast platform you listen to. God bless, and we'll catch you on the flip side.